Good afternoon and welcome to the Football Full Disclosure. We're on episode 9 and we're going to be talking game week 14 and 15 because, you know, it's Christmas period. We're busy. Marty, how busy are you?
Very busy. Yeah, it's a crazy time of year. It's a crazy time for us in school. It's a crazy time for anyone involved in football. Just a crazy time in general, isn't
it? I know, those fixtures, they've added up, you know, the Christmas gala, the winter show, let alone football. That's, you know, taking back seat. So what do you do when football don't, when Liverpool rather don't play?
Well, I get a little bit upset.
I know.
I was very disappointed.
I know.
I actually got to the point where I was complaining to my TV provider because I was like, it's not the right game. The right game's not on. Why is this? But of course, what I should have done first was checked to see what was going on. Was there a reason why the game might not be on?
Obviously, for a very good reason. Storm Dara absolutely causing mayhem in Wales and the UK. So Liverpool Everton game was postponed. We got off lucky, I think. I think, you know, it's the final Goodison Park, final Merseyside derby even. I think the writing was on the wall. We probably would have lost the game like that or drawn.
We were talking about Everton last week and we said how they would have a tough time staying out of the relegation zone. And I think we jinxed it, didn't we? Because they seem to have done okay. We didn't do fantastically well against Newcastle.
No.
That was very disappointing. Not ultimately that surprising. Midweek game, we could have won it. Mistake at the end. It was unfortunate. It was a draw.
Yeah.
But okay, fine, take that. Newcastle, again, good side. They're a bit inconsistent. They're a bit of a Spurs, aren't they,
at the moment? They show up for big games like that, don't they?
For big games, they show up. So, okay, we drop points straight off the bat. Disappointing. And as you said, yeah, you could absolutely see the writing on the wall. We would have gone there and ended up losing or dropping more points, I think, maybe.
It's one of those games. You can see it's the last Merseyside derby. It's Goodison Park, everything like that. It's... You know, I would have expected us to lose that game, you know, because Everton absolutely would have shown up.
Yeah.
Obviously, not the last Merseyside derby, but the last Merseyside derby at, you know, Goodison. And,
Well, and coming off the back of, as I say, the draw and dropping points there, it could have happened, couldn't it?
So maybe it
worked out okay for us. Mm. That was the only game, I think, that was postponed in the Premier League.
I think so, yeah. What do you reckon? Is it better for us to have that game in hand? And have teams kind of maybe chasing us, or
I like having that game in hand.
You like
I think if you've got a nice cushion and a game in hand,
I think so.
I think that feels really nice, doesn't it? Because even if you drop points, you think, well, you know, we can this if it ends up being a make or break, then it's like, right, well, we have that.
We have
this extra one where we can get those 3 points.
There we go.
And you would certainly hope the team are going to turn up for that game if you really need it there. So yeah, I think that's okay.
But who took advantage of that game in hand?
Well, this is it, isn't it? It wasn't the two teams. We got lucky again
we
with two
lucky.
Of the teams dropping points as well.
I mean, one of the teams, I think, is completely out of it now. That's City. But we'll get onto City later. But one of the teams almost definitely took advantage of it. And that is Maresca and Chelsea.
Yeah,
who,
it is.
Obviously, Spurs. They were at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And that was an interesting game. Cucurella slipping all over the place. He actually changed his boots and they conceded 2 goals. So Spurs are up. But Spurs being Spurs, you know, Spurs do Spurs things and did not see the game out.
Not a disappointing game for the neutral.
No.
Lots of goals. Very exciting. But yes, Spurs, again, doing Spursy things, aren't they? You just don't know. Okay, again against Chelsea. Chelsea are quietly having a great season, aren't they?
They are.
And now everybody's talking about them. Oh, could Chelsea be title contenders? Even though we talked about Maresca playing it down last week. But that's what everybody's saying now. That's all it takes. 1 week, one good result, other teams drop. Now they're ahead of them by 3 points. They're behind us by, how many points is it
Four
now?
Points.
4 points.
With one game played. One more game played. But are they title contenders? Yes. Will they win the title? I'm still firmly back in Liverpool. I'm back in us, I think. I think we've got enough about us. I think, you know, yeah, Chelsea are having a very good run right now. They've got Cole Palmer. They can win a lot with that guy, who I should say he's kind of annoying me a little bit. He's annoying me, not just because he's doing very well, but it's the cheekiness of some of the things he's doing. I think, show respect. That Paneke was just, I mean, it's outrageous. It shows, you know, he's calm, he's collected, but I think...
Full of confidence.
It's full of confidence, but I think respect your opponent a little bit. I mean, if the keeper catches that, you look like an absolute
Well, let's be honest. Look, he's not throwing footballs at the back of people's heads. That, for me, was like, when Haaland did that, I was like, mate, you can't do that.
You can't.
I mean, that is incredibly disrespectful. And he's, you know, he's mouthing off to people. He's not doing it now, is he?
No.
Haaland. So I kind of like it when, you know, big players, really good players start doing things like that.
Yeah.
And then it all starts to go wrong for them. It's like, well, just, you know, have a bit of humility.
Humility. That's the word. I think humility is important. But... you know, well done to Chelsea. Spurs doing Spursy things. Let's just hope this Spurs doing Spursy things is the Spurs that we get when we face Spurs. Because, like I said, teams like that show up. They show up when they face Liverpool. Anyway, one team, as I said, took the opportunity. That was obviously Chelsea. The other team was, Stoke FC. Sorry, Arsenal. My mistake. That was Arsenal obviously travelled to Craven Cottage. And that was a 1-1 draw. So Arsenal had the chance to close the gap. And I guess they closed the gap, but 1 point. It's not enough, is it?
No. Again, against, though, a Fulham team that are having a quietly very good season.
Very good season.
So I think we've got Fulham next, haven't we?
We do at home. We've got Fulham at home, yeah.
Yeah, so again, I don't think that's going to be an easy game for us either.
No,
we didn't play fantastically well in the European game yesterday.
Yeah.
I want to talk about...
that was Girona, wasn't it?
I want to talk a little bit more about Liverpool, I think, but let's finish with this. But Fulham are doing pretty good stuff at the moment, so I don't think it's going to be super easy for us. It obviously wasn't easy for Arsenal.
No.
They have dropped more points.
Yes.
I don't know. When it comes to Arsenal, we said it before, we know they're going to drop points along the way. They would have been expecting to win this one, though. Even though Fulham are having a good season, Arsenal are thinking, this is a winner. This is not a game. We should be dropping points soon. So they're going to be incredibly disappointed.
If you want to win the title, these are the games you need to be winning. And I know Arsenal, you know, Arsenal supporters are talking about, oh, Declan Rice was sent off against Brighton. You know, we lost points for this. VAR didn't go our way, this and that and everything else. Everything else. But at the end of the day, they're not taking the opportunity. I think if Arsenal don't win this Premier League, the one season that City has absolutely, you know, completely fallen off the grid, you know, Arsenal supporters are going to look at themselves and think, wow. The Arsenal team will look at themselves and think, wow, this was an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, they had far more chances than Fulham. Fulham only had two shots on target, one goal. I mean, okay.
It was a good goal. It was a well-taken goal by Raul Jimenez, I have to say. But Arsenal, do they rely too much on the corners?
Set-piece team, aren't they?
Yeah, Stoke FC.
But they can score in open play. They have quality. We talked about Saka, and he is an incredible player. They created a lot of chances, 12. They had only had four on target, but they need to be putting them away, don't they? And that's the problem. If they're not scoring from set pieces, they need to be getting their goals in open play. And when they have the opportunity to take them, they need to take them. And if they don't, they're going to continue dropping points like this. And therefore, it's going to be easy for us as long as Chelsea don't keep doing what they're doing.
Chelsea, don't. Stop it, Chelsea.
Yeah, stop it, Chelsea.
Stop it. Quick question I've got to ask you. Do you know the name of Arsenal's set piece coach?
I don't.
His name is Nicholas Hover. That's the world we live in. I know his name because everyone's raving about the guy.
Set piece coaches are a thing that you wouldn't have heard of six, 7 years ago, would
no,
you?
No, you wouldn't.
But it's quite common now because set pieces are important. Throwing
integral
coaches.
Integral parts.
Throwing coaches.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
We had one.
We didn't see anything from it.
I don't know. I think there was a couple of opportunities that we got out of throw-ins. Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe just coach the side better. Maybe you don't need someone to coach throwing a ball. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. to the other team that didn't take the opportunity to close the gap. And this is a team that I think is completely out of it now. I think City, who obviously went to Selhurst Park to face Palace. That was an exciting 2-2 draw. City out of it, right?
I think, well, I don't want to jinx it. I mean,
let's not jinx it.
No, because you say
wood, lightly.
You can't, can you? This is the thing about City. Because you've seen them do crazy stuff before, I'll say it every single week, maybe until... you know, we're into next year, they can do crazy stuff. I mean, let's see what January brings, because if they bring in a couple of players, could change their season, could they win? I know, but could they win every game to the end of the season? Absolutely, they could. They've done it before.
They have.
So again, I don't want to. I think deep down, no, I don't think they can. But again, I still think, there's always an outside possibility, isn't there?
I think so. For me personally, I think City, something's happening in the background with City. I think Pep is cracking.
I think they're a team who don't, they're not used to losing.
No,
are they?
They're not.
They're a team that are not used to losing, and I don't think they know how to handle it when the chips are down. Exactly what they need to do. They've lost a couple of games,
exactly.
You know, and then they're like, okay, then they get back to winning ways again. This is going on. They're dropping a lot of points. I mean, this is
way too many.
This is probably the worst run they've ever had.
Absolutely.
It's not even probably. Yeah. It is the worst run they've ever had since Pep's been there.
Okay.
And that is saying something. So it's like, okay, this is territory they've not been in.
Mm.
I don't think they know exactly how to handle
to navigate out of the problem. I saw something quite rare, something I don't usually see with Pep. He was ranting and raving at the ref after the game. You know, he's usually quite, you know, I mean, Pep is crazy, but often he's a calm, collected guy. But after the game, he was ranting at the referee about something not going his way. And there's a lot of murmurs about the 130 charges now.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's increased.
They found some more.
And
as if they weren't enough already.
Exactly. And the language I've been hearing, especially, you know, City have Juve. And Juve was a team that was punished heavily for cheating. Obviously, they were relegated to Serie C, Serie D, whatever it was. And the murmurs, I'm reading reports, you know, they're throwing out a lot of language about relegation to City.
Well, look, I would be very surprised if some of these charges don't stick. I mean, you don't get that amount of charges and, like, they're all completely nonsense. I mean, I find that very hard to believe. Something is going to happen. Relegation down to, I mean,
conference.
Would it be down to non-league football? I mean, I don't know how far down you'd go. I guess it depends on how many of them are.
Yeah.
If relegation is a thing, I mean, fining for sure, that's going to happen if they're found guilty. Points deductions, yes. Relegation, it would be extreme.
Mm.
But if there are that many charges, then yeah. But then, you know, they just come straight back up again, don't they? The same as Juventus did. I mean,
they don't have an exodus of players.
Well, they will. But even if they do, they'll still be able
to
bring
in... They've got a good
academy. Yeah. They'll still... Yeah, exactly. They could probably come back up with using their academy players, right?
But Pep did come out. He also has come out saying he will not manage any other club side. That's it. And you get that feeling that I think it's done for him at City, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it's coming to an end. It feels like a dynasty just, you know, crumbling right before our eyes.
You love it, don't you? I do. A smile on your face.
You're just I'm like, not... Full disclosure, I'm not a City supporter. Clearly, if there are any City supporters out there, I'm not smiling. I mean, I was smiling a little bit. But cheaters should be punished.
I absolutely agree. You haven't, if you've cheated and won, you haven't won. Mm. Right? And that's for me, that's it. So absolutely relegate them. Absolutely take away their Premier League titles.
Mm.
We'll get, how many of those titles will come to us if they have them taken away?
I don't
away?
Want a title that way.
But to be fair, when you're getting over 100 points in a season and not winning it, yeah, I think to be fair, and you've not won it because another team technically has cheated to get it, then yes, I am having
it's
that awful. Title. Thank you very much. That's mine now. That's I'm having that because we absolutely deserve it. We played
we
some incredible football.
It. We would have, yeah, it was incredible. It's you know, you think to yourself, people are slating Klopp, saying, oh, you know, he's only won one Premier League title, 2 second place finishes, 3 Champions League finals and everything else. And then what's his legacy? But this is arguably against one of the best sides, you know, in City. And if it does come out that they cheated, like, that's, it's harsh, isn't it?
Really harsh. I hate that people say that. I mean, I think anybody who's not a Liverpool fan won't understand the importance of it, because Liverpool were kind of, yeah, we won the occasional thing, but we went through dark times, man. Some of the players we had in our teams, like, you know, go back to David and Go days and things like that. Andre Voronin, we had players
Ron
like this.
Ron James is the player on my mind.
Yeah, I know, right? We like to be a Liverpool supporter through that time, you know, Hodgson as manager. Okay, we got close with Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers.
That was
honestly
a shame. Yeah. We had a great
Kenny Dalglish coming back.
Yeah, I know. Kenny coming back is great, but I mean...
He won a cup.
Yeah, exactly. He won a cup, didn't he? Yeah. He comes back, he wins a cup. Fine. Yeah. But, you know, he brings in, what, Andy Carroll.
Yeah, Suarez at the same time.
Well, Suarez was awesome, obviously.
Yeah.
So we had some great players along the way. But to be honest, there were some really dark times there as well. And you're kind
it
of thinking...
It,
yeah, and then Klopp comes in and brings the good times back. And
exactly.
I think that for... So for, even if we didn't win any Premier League and he just, you know, won a couple of trophies, it's just that he got us back to playing good football
again. And the legacy
again.
He's left.
And he's left a good team, exactly.
Exactly.
For Slot, the team Slot now has... is Klopp's team.
It's seamless for Slot. Yeah,
but it's easy for him to then walk in and just say, right, well, maybe from looking from the outside in, he can say, well, look, guys, you play great attacking football. Klopp got you playing great attacking football.
Yeah.
You need to be better defensively. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tighten you up here. We're going to be in more control, but we can still be deadly when we go forward.
Absolutely.
And that's what he's done. And that's great. And that's why, you know, it's good times. It's happy times for us now. It's wonderful. And I'm, you know, very thankful to Klopp for what he did. And every Liverpool supporter is. That is his legacy. He steadied a ship. He got us back to winning ways. He put belief back in the hearts of everybody, the players, the staff, and the fans. So his legacy.
Who do you support again?
Yes, full disclosure. Well, we've gone down this road many times before. I'm also a Liverpool supporter. Yes.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, just to make it clear in case nobody had got that.
Let's swiftly move on to our favourite team. Let's head over to Old Trafford. Amorim, oh my gosh, what has he learned about this United side? That, I don't know, I guess they are weak.
He's got a big job on his hands, he's learned that.
Oh, big is an understatement.
He came in, he's probably thinking, full of confidence, I've done really, really well with Sporting. Right, okay, let's come in. I'm going to sort this United team out. It's going to take a lot of time.
If I were him, I'd be back on the phone asking, can I come back to Sporting? Because, I mean, for context, they faced Forest, a very good Forest side right now.
Having a great season.
A very good season. But they're at home. They're at Old Trafford. And Forest beats them 3-2. What is that? I mean, what do you learn as a manager? Like, you have a group of players that you can't count on.
No, you absolutely can't count on it. I think what you have to understand is what we've been saying before is it's a deeper problem at United, isn't it? It's not necessarily they don't have quality players, because they do have some quality players, but it's a mentality thing. And we keep going over
the players.
We keep going over the same ground with this, but it is. I think it's almost certainly a psychological aspect. There's something very wrong there. They need to bring in new players. They need to get that identity. We're using this word again, but it's identity.
It needs to be sorted out. I love the word identity, but that's what it is. They need that. For me, I think Forest wanted it more. You know, I saw parts of that game, and they just looked like they had more fight at Old Trafford. How is that possible? How does a team come to Old Trafford and look like they want it more than the actual team playing at home? I think, you know, also from context, United were coming from a 2-0 loss at Arsenal. That was game week 14. That was, you know, Arsenal two set pieces again, the set piece team. But come on, I think Amorim he's really going to be wondering, what have I done?
I think, again, it's one of those situations where they brought in a manager who plays very differently to the previous manager as well. So it's, yes, it's a psychological thing across the board.
He prefers three at the back, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays three at the back, and they have only ever played four at the back for as long as, well...
Ever, pretty much.
So, yes, the players are going to have to adjust to a different way of playing, to different formation that they're not at all used to. So, obviously, it's going to take time. I'm pretty sure he was told, you've got the rest of the season, don't worry about it, just kind of figure things...
Do what you can,
figure things out, get your bearings, decide what you want to do with the players, who you want to keep, who you don't, and I'll guarantee you they'll be heads for the chop. I was already
reading... You think he knows already?
I was already reading Rashford's on his way out, or they're going to try and get rid of Rashford. Again, this is speculation. This is what I'm reading in the papers this morning, but I think there'll be a lot of heads for the chop. I think a lot of people will be out the door.
Yeah.
I think that he'll be ruthless.
And
I think
Fernandez?
That's exactly what you need to do. You need to be ruthless.
Keep Fernandez?
I mean, he's a quality player. I just wouldn't have him as my captain. If it were me, personally.
Maguire?
But then that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Stripping someone of their captaincy, that takes some some guts. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that they'll do that. But I think you've got to have a better leader for me. I read what other people have said, and said in the dressing room he's a great leader. And again, we touched on this, but you need a leader on the pitch. And what I see, when the chips are down, so is he. That is not what you
want. He was at fault for one of the goals, actually. But who else is up for the chop? I guess Maguire, definitely. I think he's almost turned into a forgotten man at United. But I almost never hear anything about him anymore. So Maguire, done. Casemiro.
Yeah.
Done.
Martinez, I was reading, might be...
Martinez. I guess that's a Ten Hag signing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's just a little too small for the Premier League,
I think that's just a, let's try and cash in and get a bit of money. now for that signing. I think again, this is speculation. This is what I'm reading in the papers. Obviously, the rumors are that they might try to offload him. Maybe Real Madrid are interested
in Martinez.
Maybe, yeah, something like that.
Wow, strange things have happened, huh? There we go. I guess we'll see. Vincent Kompany getting relegated with Burnley and then winding up the manager of Bayern München.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be wholesale changes for sure. There'll be changes in January and then in the summer that I think there'll be a big clear out, and I think it'll be a complete overhaul of players that fit maybe his system, because he seems determined to want to play this 3-4-3 formation, right? So I think he's going to try and find players that can play
that fit into those, that model.
Those what do they call them now? Half backs, half centre backs,
wide centre backs,
wide centre backs. To play in that as part of that three.
Okay.
So
anyway, let's head over to statistically the best stadium in the Premier League. You know where that is, right? That is the G-Tech Community Stadium. Honestly, I think if you have a season ticket for this place, you should, you know, look to, I mean, you shouldn't be selling your tickets, obviously, but I think if you want to watch a Premier League game, head to Brentford, because goals will fly. And the same thing happened. It was Brentford hosting Newcastle. Newcastle, you know, showing up against us, losing 4-2 to Brentford at home. But granted, Brentford are so good at home. I think the statistic that they've actually taken 22 out of 24 points at the G-Tech Stadium.
Problem is their away record is shocking. So it's like one extreme to the other.
You
home,
can
they are fantastic.
Bet they will lose at away.
Yeah, away from home, not good at all.
Yeah.
But always entertaining nevertheless. They know how to score goals, don't they?
They do.
They are a team that can certainly score goals. Wissa is always doing Wissa things. Every week is like boom, boom, boom. If he's fit, he's scoring pretty much, isn't he? And Mbeumo involved again.
Again.
I mean, he wasn't. We did make a point of it last week.
No,
didn't we?
He wasn't involved.
But was involved again today. Great player. I mean, they've got goal scorers, haven't they?
They've got great creative players.
This guy,
Sharder, as well, you know, coming through. Do you think they can keep these guys at the end of the season?
I think Mbeumo will go somewhere. Because he's that good and he's involved in so much.
Yeah.
It'll be hard for a team to look at him and say he could, you know, he's an option in a lot of teams, I think.
Absolutely.
I take him at Liverpool. I think he'd be a quality player. I think he'd be a quality player. Because he's big, he's strong, he's skillful, he creates chances, he can score goals. I mean, what else do you want?
You take him as a backup to Salah or as a starter?
If Salah signs another 2-year contract, which it seems like he might, this is the talk now.
We can get onto that in a bit. Yeah.
This is the talk that he might sign these 2 years. So it looks like these contract situations are sorting themselves out.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, why not bring him in? But then I'd look at the Liverpool team and say, okay, Ben Doak is having an incredibly good season with Middlesbrough, right? He's a young,
quick
lad, and he's having a really good season. And he's doing really well for Scotland as well. Yeah. So, I mean, he plays in the same position as Salah.
Yeah.
He's a good young player with
a lot
of potential.
He's a guy that I'd like to have as a backup to Salah, personally. Yeah. And I wouldn't be in favour of a Mbeumo.
I would take him at Liverpool.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think we need to take him though.
Okay.
That's the point. I mean, you look at what you have and say, look, we've got this great young talent coming through.
Mm.
He's already an international. He's having a great season in the Championship.
Yeah,
can he make the step up to the Premier League?
Yeah.
At least deputise for the next 2 years
for
Salah if he does sign his contract extension. I mean, it's a good person to be,
deputing
for.
Yeah.
So, yes, do we need Mbeumo? Probably not. But he would be a great player to have in your team.
Yeah.
I think, and probably in anybody's team. But he'd be wasted not to be playing, though. That's the problem, isn't it?
I think so. A player of that caliber should be playing European football, in my opinion. But what do you think it is? Why do you think teams like this are so good at home? Like, it's the G-Tech Community Stadium. I don't know, the capacity of, like, 25, 30,000. It's not a big stadium. It's not particularly one of the great stadiums of the world. Like, what is it?
Well, home stadiums, you're more used to playing there than anywhere else.
Yeah.
So you're used, the pitch size is set up for your
dimension.
Team.
Yeah.
Set up to your dimensions for your team. Obviously, you've got your crowd there, so there's more support.
That's
egging you on. And for a lot of people, you need that.
You need that
support.
Yeah.
You need people screaming your name.
You
and
give that extra 10%.
To give you that extra, right? So it's the same for everybody. Home form should be better than away form. It's just that their away form is so bad. It's just massively noticeable, isn't it? They need to improve away from home.
Yeah.
But always entertaining. You've got to love watching Brentford.
Brilliant. I think so. Yeah. It's my favourite team to watch right now and having a couple of their players on my fantasy team. Anyway, let's head over to the King Power Stadium. That was Leicester hosting Brighton. So Brighton were up 2-0 in that game. That is a game that they definitely wanted to see out. But Ruud van Nistelrooy, I think, you know, on one extreme, you've got Amorim learning that his team doesn't have any fight in them. But Ruud van Nistelrooy is actually learning, actually, this is a team with a bit more to them than what he thought.
He's picking up points straight off the bat, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that was a draw against a good Brighton team.
Very good Brighton side.
They are at home.
Yeah.
Fine. But I would have expected Brighton to get the result in that game. So I think he's thinking to himself, you know, we're okay. We've got some decent players here. I think we can maybe do something. He might be able to do what they need him to do, which is just keep them up.
Keep them up. I think so. I think that would be the clear target. Stay up by any means necessary. I think that Brighton game was quite funny because they brought on a defender, and this was at 2-0 up. And I imagine the managers told the defender, don't do anything silly. Make sure they don't score. You know what this guy does? He gives the ball away. They score 2-2. What is that all about? Like, it's a simple job, surely.
Well, I mean, being a defender in the Premier League, I'm sure, is never a simple job. But I mean, being a professional footballer, you should be able to be like, right, okay, look, all I've got to do, I've got to do is just do the basic stuff right, okay? Just do the basic stuff right. Let's not do anything fancy. Let's not give it away. Find a pass or clear the ball.
Mm.
And then you go and do something like that. It's like, oh.
I know. It was comical because he was dribbling around the box. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Don't give it away. Clear it. He gives it away. They score. I mean, as a manager, I would be livid. I'd be absolutely livid. But that happens. Okay, so let's head over to Portman Road Stadium. That's Ipswich, who lost again. It's disappointing for Ipswich. They just cannot hold on to a win to save their lives. They actually scored first, but like all things with Ipswich this season, they literally can't hold on. They can't hold on. And, you know, Bournemouth having a very, very good season, I have to say. But I think it's pretty clear now. I think, you know, it would be difficult to not see Ipswich going down along with Southampton at this stage.
Yeah, I think they've got quality players.
Mm.
I have said it, and I will continue to say it, I like their boldness. I like the football they play.
The manager.
But you've got to hold on to Leeds. And to lose it from the 87th and then 90 plus 5 is tough to take. I mean, even you take a draw there, you're like, okay. But to lose it 90 plus 5, tiredness, I think, is creeping in. Fitness and tiredness. Not used to the level of the Premier League, I would imagine.
I think
that's where... I mean, you've got to see the game out, haven't you? Everyone just defend for your lives
it out. For me personally, you know, watching what happened when Brighton scored that last goal to make it 2-1, and it must have been, I think, the last kick of the game. Those Ipswich players, just, you know, they fell. They just, you know, fell to the floor. That loss looked like that's something that will stick with them, and that looked like the loss that's it for them. It's quite early in the season, and, you know,
we said this. Yeah,
I know.
We can't be saying things like this when we still have half a season to go.
But
there are still lots of points to be had. But yes, of course, they've got to get better. They've got to strengthen in January and do something as well. I think they've got to try and bring a few more people in, just a bit, some more fresh legs, because if fitness is the issue, because they're not used to the level, the standard that the Premier League is, the intensity that the Premier League is, because it is an intense, and they do go for it as well. I mean, they are going for it. It's not like they're just, let's take it easy, defend, and then, you know, break on the counter. I mean, they're going for it, which is why I like to see that.
It's a bit naive, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, is it? Fortune favours the bold, they say.
15 points dropped. That says it all. That says it all for me.
Is he going to change his philosophy, though? I doubt it. I think if he's going into it like this, then I think he's going to keep going. I can't imagine he's going to change things up. Just have a crack. He's going to pick up points. They are going to beat teams.
I'm sure.
I think they will pick up some points, but we'll have to wait and see. It depends what happens around, because Everton, as much as we were kind of looking forward to them declining, they're kind of actually doing okay.
They're doing okay. And I guess the other team that, for me personally, I think is nailed on, gone, Southampton.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with that. I think Southampton don't have much hope of staying up. I think they will finish dead bottom.
A 5-1 loss to Chelsea, and, you know, lost to Villa Park. Obviously, a very good Villa side, but Southampton just architects of their own downfall. Sometimes the way they play, it's again, they're so naive. No, you don't play 1-2s around your box.
No.
With passing, players rushing on.
Trying to dribble out or pass out from the back is not easy for any team.
No.
And certainly in the Premier League with the intensity and the pressing, because it's such a pressing game now, pressing for pretty much every team, they train their teams to press. And they to press high up the pitch as well. So you don't have a lot of time on the ball. Sometimes you just got to hoof it and get rid of it. You know, if you find yourself in trouble, just get rid of it. Don't give it back to the keeper.
Man City do that from time to time. Mm. They get rid of it. They don't, you know, they can't play from the back. They get rid of
You've
it.
You've got to know when to give it up. Yeah, you, in that
I guess that's, I don't know. I think the managers are very, very strict with their style of play. But remember, Vincent Kompany. He stuck with his style of play. He got relegated and
then he went to Bayern Munich. So he's fine.
Bayern Munich, exactly. Anyway, let's head over to the last game. I think this was the last game of the roundup. That was at the London Stadium. West Ham hosted Wolves. And Wolves, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It's looking bleaker and bleaker for O'Neill, isn't it? For Gary O'Neill.
It is. And I'm disappointed because I honestly thought they were going to pick up some points during these games. And they had to, because if they weren't picking up points in these games, then they are in real trouble, because these are the winnables. But again, they are responsible for their own downfall. Just
they're in
really
real trouble.
Football.
I think they're in real trouble.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Genuine.
I honestly thought come January they'd be kind of out of the relegation zone, but they just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And these are individual errors from players. And just not, I mean, they just weren't good at all, were they? They were absolutely poor. And Gary O'Neill's come out and said that as well. He's like, we were shocking. This is like one of the worst performances I've ever seen at the club. And that's, you know, not untrue, because it was poor.
I mean, West Ham obviously had the added benefit of playing for Mikel Antonio, who was in a horrible accident. We all wish him well. But, you know, West Ham desperately needed this 3 points, didn't they? And they showed up.
Interestingly enough, both teams, I mean, there's a lot of shots in the game. Both had 19 shots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were a lot of chances.
It was back and forth.
There were a lot of chances in the game, but they're not taking, they have players to take the chances. They didn't take the chances that they should have taken. And just, it's their all-round game, I think. They're just defensively, they're not great. They're doing silly things, giving the ball away too cheaply. And they're things that Gary O'Neill, I'm sure, will be furious about. And it's back on the training ground. Look, we need to fix this. We need to get back to basics. Yeah. Get the little things right. And then things will start to happen, because there is quality in the team. So yeah, I'm disappointed for them. I think they're better than they are playing, but we'll have to wait and see again. Could be trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the roundup. Marty, thank you.
No worries. Pleasure.
Let's hope we don't have another storm that, you know, curtails our game. Because that leaves me on a weekend kind of just wondering, what do I do? No, I do have a lot of stuff to do, a lot of work to do. Raise my family.
Well, I'm going to be here at the weekend, because we've got the winter fair going on
lovely.
Sunday, haven't we? So I'm going to be in for that, playing some lovely Christmas music.
Hey,
Get everybody in the spirit.
There we go. Let's get in the Christmas spirit. Anyway, that's a roundup. Thank you very much. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.